This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is A Lot to Learn with Austin Rogers. For the guy who knows everything, he's still got a lot to learn. Without further ado, here's Austin.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night. I have no idea what time it is because it's podcast and you listen to podcasts when you re-listen to podcasts. Maybe in the shower. Probably not in the shower. I don't know. Today's going to be really interesting because we're going to talk about an organization that has been around forever and I think maybe dispel some myths on it. Today we have Kyle Carroll, who is the executive director of
director
of giving for the YMCA of Austin, Texas. We are in Austin, Texas at Kyle's beautiful home. She has offered hospitality and we've known each other for quite some time. And while on this road trip, we're like, hey, what's the Y do? Why the why? why the why? By the way, you're welcome because that's your new ad slogan.
Oh, we love all the different ways you can incorporate the word why into why.
that's your gimmicks.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah. So a couple days ago, Kyle said, "I've been listening to your podcast in anticipation of this interview, and you noticed something that I didn't notice, but I think dovetails exactly with what you do. What was it that you noticed?"
So I'd been listening to your podcast, and what really struck me as sort of this through line and thread of all these seemingly disparate, different industries and professions and, different just walks of life. And really, when you listen to it, they all at some point touched upon the importance of community in their industries, in their worlds, in their professions, and the space that's created when people come together over something, a common, denominator.
Right. And, I didn't notice it, but like, for example, Arun Sharma spoke about the community built around Ducati motorcycles. Kyle introduced me to an amazing man, Alan Graham, who's the CEO and founder of Mobile Loaves and Fishes, a homelessness combating community. Mm-hmm. It's a literal community that he has built of around tiny homes in Austin, Texas here. And I didn't really think that it, but yeah, once you start getting into this thing, like musicians have a musician community. Exactly. When I interview Buzzy, we're talking about part of our Jeopardy community, blah, 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 blah. So you really hit a little salient nail on the head of something that I didn't even recognize while doing it. And right there in the why, you are in the middle of communities.
Yep. I think that's the part. I grew up in the Y. I was a Y kid. I learned to swim at the Y. I spent my summers at the outdoor Y. My sisters both went through the gymnastics program. And until I was older and, sort of came back to the Y for this profession, I hadn't realized all the things that they do outside of a place to work out or a place to learn to swim. I think all of those things are important. They're all about healthy living, but it's more about they really commit to the spirit, mind, and body. It's a holistic health as versus just a place to work out. And what I've realized working at the Y and learning more about the organization is that they are truly reflections of the communities that they serve, and they create these spaces for people to come together and have this place where they feel like they have family and friends and a community. And so when I was listening to that, I thought, oh my gosh, this is exactly what we do and the importance of the why, especially I would say for people who don't have that, who maybe don't have a place they feel safe and a place that they feel like they have something in common with someone else, or maybe they don't have close friends or family, or they're going through something and they feel alone. I've witnessed just the amazing space, like I said, that's the best way I can put it, is the space that's created at the Y that gives them a feeling of belonging and a feeling of community.
So let's talk about where that came from, where that stemmed from. I hate the term mission statement, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. What is the in your own words, not necessarily the you wrote, sure. but what's the Y's mission?
The Y's mission is to put into practice Christian principles, that's in our mission statement. Mm-hmm. They put into practice Christian principles that help. I'm gonna butcher our mission statement.
Don't mean again. I already caveated with this is your own words,
but that to address the health of the spirit, mind, and body. For all, though, is what's been, I think, really, especially as the Y has sort of gone through a rebranding and a re-identification. Mm-hmm. You notice I say the Y way more often than I say the YMCA. Is
right.
They really, they embrace that piece of it, but that piece of it in the spirit of a servant heart and serving your community, but really, really being for all. And I think that... for me, that's what that strong mission is, and what we really everything. You know, there's an amazing culture. YUSA out of Chicago, mm-hmm. Is sort of our mother,
right?
You know, motherboard there, and they. But we all, and then there's and then all the different associations and all the different communities. So
right.
The YMCA of Austin functions as an independent nonprofit with its own EIN and all of that.
Understood.
But we take our branding, we take our cues from YUSA, but then we're given the freedom to really reflect our community's needs and to be as diverse as we want to be and need to be. And we strive for diversity and inclusion, especially as a reflection of the community that we serve. For instance, we have one of our branches offers women only swim in the morning for Muslim women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so there's we just have that kind of, yes, it was founded on by young men Christians back in the day, but it has sort of evolved to really be a place where it's part of our mission to be a place where we are for all. My job is to raise money to make sure we are financially accessible to people who can't afford it.
Right.
We have an amazing financial assistance program. You know, one in four of our kids in after school wouldn't be able to be there without really generous contributions to the Y. And I think people don't know that alone about the Y is that we're a charitable organization that
right.
really, in order to fulfill our mission, commits to giving out that financial assistance to be as economically accessible in addition to geographically, and we're working towards accessibly, physically accessible as
right,
well.
So. Right. So you really run the gamut, you know, because when... I want you to dispel some myths by going through with some of those other amazing services that you provide
sure.
for, you know, women and families and low-income people and people out of sorts. Because, you know, for me, the Y is like, oh, yeah, that's the place with the gym. And, you know, oh, there's clean, cheap rooms if you get kicked out of your apartment or
right.
something like that. And then there's sort of where it ends. And also the other thing is, you know, the legacy of being founded in that masculine Christianity era, which was mm-hmm. It wasn't quite proselytizing, but it was like, you know, the Teddy Roosevelts of the time were like, well, to be manly, you must, you know, box and swim and fight, but do it in the name of Christ.
Right.
And like that, to me, the urban Austin is like, Christian. But Christianity's core values, you know, love thy neighbor, honor thy family, yada, yada, yada. Not the crazy Leviticus stuff, but the principles of Jesus are like, yeah, come on, get together, you know?
Yeah.
So what are some of those services that you help out with, you know, the community? Because it's everyone.
Sure. I will say and like you said, we run the gamut, and I think it's a blessing to be able to have this many things that we do for the community. And then also it is hard to articulate sometimes when they're like, well, what do you do? And we're like, we do everything.
Right, right. How do you talk about doing everything when you actually do everything?
So, for instance, like I said, we have a very strong financial assistance program. I think that's the biggest thing. We actually give away $2.7 million in financial assistance in Austin alone.
And this is just the Austin branch, because you guys are almost, the way you just explained it, sort of like a franchise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. So we have...
But you have to maintain your own solvency and yada, yada, yada. You're a full-functioned company, top to bottom. You're just in under the umbrella of the Y as an organization.
Yep.
Got it.
Exactly. So we provide financial assistance in the for after school care. We have an amazing after school program for kids who don't have anywhere to go after school. So we provide that space for them. Financial assistance for our summer camp programs, and we have early learning readiness programs for kids during that period of summer before they start school. And we do. Oh my gosh, we do so many things. We partner with Livestrong, and we have a Livestrong at the Y. Mm-hmm. It's a free cancer survivorship program that we offer people. And that was something I found out about. I had no idea that we're able to do, again, through generosity of the community. But we offer this amazing 12-week program for cancer survivors to come, again, as a community and other people in that class. And it's also their family can go through it with them and sort of as they're on their journey, hopefully through recovery. We offer a program called Senior Retreat. So you're talking to about elder care the other day. It is a chance for caregivers to they bring their father or their grandfather or their wife or whoever it is, and we hang out and we sing songs and we play games and we lunch, and they go do their groceries or go work out or whatever. So it's a caregiver respite. So we are able to provide that. We hang out, a lot of them are, a lot of the people in senior retreat are early stages of Alzheimer's, are dementia.
Right.
But we really focus on, again, being there for people who need us. We saw a need in the community for this.
Yep.
And then we're like, what can we do to solve it? Let's create this program.
Right. And you're solving it in or you're mitigating it in a rather unorthodox way, because you're like, you are going to charge you're going to work with the caregiver, because the caregiver needs a break. Exactly. Right? You're there 24/7 with an elderly or an infirm or, you know, a mentally altered individual. Mm-hmm. And you're just always on.
Always on.
And so, wow, that is an unorthodox and backwards thinking. It's like reverse engineering there. You're like, no. These are the people who are going to need the help. Right. So we're going to give them a break so they can better assist their charges. Right. That's really cool.
Self-care is such a big thing, you know, right now. I feel like that's really gained momentum over the past couple of years. And we try to make sure that, again, we are a place for self-care. We're a place where you can have a community. And again, not just health-wise. I think I was at a board meeting, actually, volunteers. We have really great volunteers that that help us out. And someone had talked about the World Health Organization definition of health is not just...
Sick or well.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not just the absence of disease in your body. It is a holistic, emotional, spiritual, entire physical health.
And I think happiness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's something, if you wanted to drill it down, is that the Y is really committed to that holistic health. It is not about just giving you a place to work out, but it's everything that comes with that, you know, that helps round you out as a human being.
That's all the Y's in the country, you know, have similar, if not the exact same, but they're providing similar community building models, I guess, right?
Yeah, and we're all bought in. I will tell you, it is, when we go to these big conferences, there's a philanthropy conference I go to, the North American Y Development Officers Organization. That's terrible. It's NATO. But every every year, it is about 1,500 people from Mexico. It's all North America.
Right.
So it's Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., and we come together, and all the Y, I will tell you, every Y conference I've been to, there are Y people. It's a thing. It is a there's one thing about the your organization that reflects your community, and then the Y culture as a whole, what they've sort of developed, like when you are in, you are in. I mean, you are a lifer, because they have their own curriculum and their own trainings and their own, professional development paths for you. I mean, if I wanted to move, I could get another job at a Y, because they would be like, oh, you're a Y person and you know us. I've been through other nonprofits. I've worked in nonprofit my whole life almost. And I've worked for some great nonprofits and just called, but there's nothing, I've never seen anything like the Y culture.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid, but it's really good Kool-Aid.
It is the most delicious Kool-Aid ever. I'm in. And like I said, it is.
I don't mind you drinking the Kool-Aid if it's such good Kool-Aid,
it's
you know?
Such good Kool-Aid. It is, but there are Y people, and it is this, again, community within a community within a community. I know that sounds like a broken record, but I will tell you, it is, you really feel like you are a part of this bigger, we always say the movement, why
right.
movement. It's
right.
borderline cult. Like, I know that's what that sounds like.
No.
Is, but it's just something that when you're in it, you feel like you are part of this bigger family. I think I don't know if this is too personal to share, but I recently had, is okay if I share?
Yes, please. Absolutely.
I recently had a pretty traumatic event. My husband was in the unexpectedly ended up, was on a work trip and ended up in Richmond, West Virginia in the ICU. I was here with our 8-month-old daughter at the time. And I got the call that he was in the ICU and unconscious. And so I packed up a couple things for a couple days, and I jumped on the first plane I could get, and I ended up in Richmond, Virginia at 11 p.m. at night. My daughter Jolene can't go into the ICU. His coworkers are still there because they were all on a business trip. They watch her in the lobby for, you know, while I go in and talk to the doctors. And then I go back to the hotel and I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do tomorrow? And because at that point, my family hadn't made it down. His family hadn't made it down. We weren't sure how serious it was. We didn't know what was going on.
It's you and your daughter who cannot go into the ICU because she's a child.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm in Richmond, Virginia. I know nobody. I don't know what I'm doing at a hotel, and you know, I wake up at, 6 a.m. and I'm with my daughter, and I'm my Y family, you know, here, my coworkers and things all know what's going on. And they were like, you are down the street from the downtown Richmond Y. Liz, who's a past coworker of mine, her partner Lisa runs that. James made a call, who's our CEO at the Austin Y. Take Jolene over to Child Watch, and so I. It was just such this, like, they were like, wasn't even a question that they were like. It was just such this feeling of relief. Where one, it wasn't even it wasn't like I felt like I was leaving her with strangers either.
Right.
I went over, I took her over there, and
it's a known quantity, an entity.
And they were, Child Watch closes at noon, but don't worry about it if you don't make it back. And so I left her there, and I just felt this relief that I could go back to the ICU and figure out what was going on. And I still hadn't, I still knew nothing at that point. And I was there way past noon.
Yeah.
And when I got back to the Y to pick up Jolene, she had been at a lunch meeting passed around that day. She was in the COO's office, the COO of that branch, typing away on her computer. And everybody was like, please bring her back anytime. Like, she works for us now. But it was just this. Yeah, exactly. And
did you CC Jolene on that one? Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, please add her in. Loop her in later.
She's going to need to sign off on that.
Yeah. Jolene, can you get that to us? COB.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what
it was
like.
That's amazing. And that little microcosm that you just talked about, like, is replicatable place after place after place. And so say you're, the standard. Now, you luckily you had people who knew people and they called ahead, and you're an employee, right?
Right.
In this vast network of franchisees. But like, how can that translate to, the regular Joe off the street, mm-hmm. if he's the member of, a Y somewhere here and then he goes somewhere else? Is it like, is there reciprocity or?
There's reciprocity, and I'm sure our membership director would have real specifics for you, but I know that there's reciprocity, and there's also just the sense of just human goodness and kindness. Like if you're a member at a Y and you were to show up at a different Y and you were struggling, and you needed, let's say you were out of town and you need help, we have reciprocity, but also they would bring you in. We did an entire thing for all the federal workers here. We opened up
while
our doors.
The furlough was happening.
While the furlough was happening, we're like, do you need a place to work out or take a shower or do what? I mean, not take a shower, but you know what I mean? Like, you need a place to be, again, with self-care. It was free to any furloughed federal worker during the furlough. Like, we're here for you.
It's so remarkable and so good to hear, like, things like this, like, operating. But it's also a little daunting, you know, for... Because I feel you should have more visibility. I don't feel that the Y has a bad rap or a bad brand at all.
No.
And absolutely not. I just don't think it's as visible as it should be for all the good work you're doing. Because, you know, Red Cross gets in the headlines every single day of the week, you know? And then other, you know, other organizations, you know, Doctors Without Borders, you know, oh, they're doing the flashy work.
Yeah, we're just quietly serving your community.
And doing the hard work, you know? I'm not saying these other organizations aren't doing the hard work, but you're maintaining humans.
Without, you know, and...
You're keeping humans going and you're maintaining them. You're not shock troops to create to stop an emergency.
Right.
You're just it's always on. It's a clockwork.
That's a good way to put it. That's actually a great way to put it is that, we are, obviously we'll respond in a crisis, but that's not our job. Our job is to be there every day, all the time for you.
That's pretty amazing because that's the stuff that gets overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Big disaster happens. Everyone donates, all the nonprofits, and then the nonprofits mobilize like an army to go deal with the community struck by this. But you're like, hey, dude, we're already here.
Like we're
you know,
here.
We're already here. We're ready for this. You know what? You know what we call it? We call it Tuesday.
Right.
Oh, is everyone in crisis? That's a Tuesday for us.
Yeah.
So you know what, Red Cross? You can suck it.
Oh my gosh, please don't say that.
I can say what I want. This is my show. You can say what you want.
We love the Red Cross.
I do too, but again, my show. By the way, Red Cross, you're welcome for the plug. Yeah, but you're there maintaining people day in, day out. So let's run through. You've got child care, you've got early education, you've got senior care, you've got caring for carers themselves. And then there's the gym and the rooms and the everything and the blah, 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 blah. How can someone not as a member get involved and help out with some of these programs? Like, how can someone find one of the like-minded ones that like, oh, you know what? I would love to volunteer and help out with the senior program or something like that.
I'd say first find your local Y and walk in those doors and start talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Because every Y is going to be different. If you're here in Austin, I would say even we have 8 physical branches and, you know, in Bastrop, Hays County, Dripping Springs, and then in Austin proper. And we offer walk in those doors and talk to us about it. And I will tell you, if you were to see, we partner a lot also with other nonprofits in the area. For instance, Collins Hope is they are against drowning prevention, and we work with them a lot. I mean, our whole thing is
hiring for your small business. If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Teaching kids how to swim, and we would teach, provide swim lessons for free to over 2,000 kids a year, in addition to just all the kids who actually pay for it. And so swimming
seems so simple.
It seems so simple, but it is a right and a luxury and a privilege that not all kids have.
Yes.
And it's the number two cause of accidental death for kids under 14.
No way. So that is integral work.
Yeah.
Because swimming, it's like the suburban, white suburban kids swim. They all know how to swim. But I'm not thinking straight. You know, you're serving an urban population. Yeah. And most Ys are urban located, right?
Or are they everywhere? No, we're everywhere.
Because I think of the Y as a very urban institution.
Yeah, no, we're everywhere.
Yeah?
We're everywhere.
that was ominous. And Kyle's eyes widened in a sort of way. So you're not just an urban organization. You're literally in serving rural communities and stuff like that too?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think it depends on where we're and the different areas that we're at. I mean, I think if there's a need, we're there. I think you have to... But yeah, I think we're everywhere.
No. I mean, because I'm thinking of it like, oh yeah, it's usually a big building in the middle of town. Yeah. It's got the pool, and it's got the gym, and it's got the rooms and stuff like that. I don't think of it like being out on the street, like boots on the ground. You know,
right? I see what you're saying.
So yep. Yeah,
no, yeah, no. We have amazing facilities and amazing resources, and then we give them to the community. I wouldn't say for free, and we are able to do that again through the generosity of our donors
yeah.
in the community. And, you know, and obviously membership revenue is part of that, but the vast, you know, we give out more than majority of that that we're able to provide for people is raised through contributions.
So. And each of these contributions are managed and governed independently, right?
Outside of like YUSA gets us some big grants that gets dispersed sometimes, you know, for certain programs across, you know, the different programs that we all have.
Right. But what I'm saying is if my dollar given to the Y of Austin
stays
in Austin. Yes.
Absolutely. That's a big thing.
Yes.
For
no,
us.
No, 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 no.
Yeah,
because
yeah, yeah,
I think
yeah.
that I think that's important for listeners to know that if you do start to donate to volunteer at your local Y, it is a 1-to-1 ratio. It's going back straight back into your community. You're gonna see tangible measurable differences in what's happening in your neighborhood.
Exactly. It directly affects your community that you are in. And then you really feel like you are genuinely part of making it. I mean, it's so cliche to say making a difference in your community, but you really are. Like,
right.
You really are a part of it. If you go and you volunteer and you are helping out, I mean, we have great volunteer opportunities. We started the Y in general, started as a volunteer-led organization. It was almost completely run by volunteers with only a handful of paid staff. And then it's sort of gotten away from that since then, but we are very volunteer-driven. And
right.
It really does, like you said, I mean, Alan Graham at Mobile Office of Fishes is a great also example of this. You know, those Christian principles, but like what it means to serve your community and to give of yourself selflessly and to really be there for others. I mean, that's what we're founded on. And
right.
To do it without expectation of like gratitude and thanks. And we are obviously so grateful and so gratitude when we talk about not making a big splash.
Right.
I mean, we're doing it because this is the work we're supposed to do.
Right. And there's something fundamental about those core Christian tenets, you know? Mm-hmm. I am not a religious person, but I've read four different Bibles, NSRV, King James, Tyndale.
It's impressive.
I think I read one more. I've read the four different Bibles, mm-hmm. right? But you know, running through, well, not the crazy stuff, because the crazy stuff in the beginning, that there's some weird stuff there. But no, in the New Testament, it's like, you know, it's just respect your neighbor, 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 again and again and again. You are embodying that centrality of Christianity, and especially the no judgment part, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
I can't reinforce that enough that, you know, you are teaching Muslim women swimming.
Yeah.
Wow. When would that ever have happened, you know?
Right.
That inclusiveness is really encouraging.
Yeah.
And non-judgmental too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was just wondering, so you've got your brick and mortar locations and you've got your services that are happening there. What else does the Y do, like, out on the streets, you know? Like other than, you know, and the actual physicality of your locations?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. So, oh my gosh, let me think about this for a second. Again, a lot of what we do is sort of, again, reaching out into the community and finding out what their need is, and then bringing them to us as a, do you know what I mean?
Like, I got
we
you.
Provide you with the space, again, that space where, for instance, one of our, a woman that works at our Town Lake branch, she had been talking to one of their members. I might get some of the details of the story wrong, but she's talking to the members, and it was, I want to say a divorced mother or a single mom.
Right.
Or maybe she had been.
Yes.
She was going through something very,
very
personal,
traumatic.
And very traumatic.
Yeah.
And they started a sit down. They started not a club, but it was a space for them to come and get together and meet and share their stuff. And that's not necessarily a
big
spin
ask.
Class or whatever, yeah. Which we have amazing spin classes and Zumba classes. But it was this is something that I've discovered in our community that there's a need for and people want. So here's the space that you can come together. And again, feel like you're part of a community of other people who understand what it is you're going through.
Right. And wow, that's pretty powerful. You don't think of physical space as a necessary thing unless you are the person who tragedy has befallen and you no longer have a physical space,
right.
A home or a family but like the physical place to go,
mm-hmm. is grounding
is
for people.
Is important.
It's important.
Like we're from, you know, the vast majority of the United States, or at least the Northeast, is from a British tradition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the villages that I grew up in have town squares, the village commons. That is not owned by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
That is owned by everyone. And that's where you were allowed to have, you know, the spring fair and the market and graze your sheep and meet your bride and blah, 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 blah. Having an actual physical location to join and meet and interact is incredibly important because we don't have many public spaces where you could do that anymore.
We're that now.
Because we live in our houses and we lock our doors.
Yeah.
And we drive, we get from car to car park to office, and we're not walking down the sidewalks anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So having a physical space is really important, especially if you've had tragedy befall you.
Exactly, because otherwise it can be very isolating and you can feel very alone, and then that is a slippery downward spiral for some people,
right?
To not feel like they have anybody,
right?
So
right,
we have really great. I can share this video with you, but there's another quick anecdotal story.
We'll put that up on the Instagrams.
Okay.
Yeah,
one of our members was going through a hard time. He was a recovering alcoholic and had come to the Y and was just trying to like just be in his own space and live his life. And we had helped him with financial assistance, and he'd sort of come out of himself a bit and gotten to know the other members and played basketball every day. And it was just a place where he could go. And he was, you know, had recovered, and then his wife lost her battle with cancer. And our membership director, she tells this amazing story about, he calls her, he's sitting in the parking lot in his car, and he's like, I can't do it. He's like, I'm not going to come in. He's like, I'm not, this can't, like, he sat in the parking lot and she's in the, you know, on the phone, and he's like, and she's like, so she goes out to the parking lot and sits in the car with him and they talk. And she does that multiple times where he can't come back in. And then she's like, you know what? Today we're going to get out of the car and we're going to go and we're going to sit on the steps. We're going to sit on the bench on the steps. And we made it that far. And then eventually came back in. And it's just this really powerful story of giving people that again, we're not going to abandon you. We're going to be whatever it is that you need us to be for you. And then eventually he came back and it was like, oh, this Y is my home and my community. And they were there for me. And again, it's so hard, I think, to articulate, like, what do we do? And so, because how do you articulate an intangible story like that where it is so about these personal relationships and, again, being reflections of your community and being open and just there for other human beings, especially in, again, not to get political, but in this climate where you assume that we're all happy being in our own little worlds and our silos and we don't need anybody else.
A hey, how are you doing goes a lot further than you ever even thought.
Yeah.
That's, God damn it. Now I'm getting like a little.
I know. Powerful stuff.
I'm getting a little beklempt right now.
It's very moving stuff. I mean, it is. I'll share a couple things with you that are just, every day I'm blown away by the work that we do. And it's all just person to person.
Yeah. It's a one-to-one relationship because each person is touching each person and then that's all it is. And then, and then the network starts and then everyone, come on.
I know.
Come on, Kyle. I know. What are you doing to me?
I know.
I'm supposed to be the voice of reason.
I love it. I like seeing it.
Where can we see the great work that the Y of Austin is doing? What's your Instagrams and your Twitters and stuff like that?
We are at Austin YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
I think for everything.
For everything.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we have, we're on Facebook and on Twitter. And I will tell you, I know you just talked about how we're not as visible. Man, we got a great marketing team who's really trying hard and they're putting together some great stuff as far as getting us out there. We had almost no Instagram presence and I think we're up to 1,000 followers now. And they've just done a really great job at sort of turning us around and getting us out there. And we're hopeful that the more stories we get out there like that, and I appreciate you having me on and interviewing getting that word
I think
out.
It's over. I think it's criminally overlooked.
Yeah.
But wait, I forgot. There was one thing we were going to talk about to wrap it up. You guys invented basketball.
That's right. Right. So all the other great stuff in the community,
We also
invented basketball. James Naismith needed a thing to keep the guys off the streets and give them something to do and invented basketball. And it was two peach baskets that they would use ladders to climb up and get the ball out.
It took them a while to figure out.
It took them a couple years to
maybe
realize.
You just have the hole in the bottom.
You know what? We did a lot of great things. Just a little slow on the uptake.
Well, I mean, to sort of dovetail that, it is a cliche, but it's rooted in truth, Basketball to this day still gets kids off the street.
It's so true.
Basketball is such an amazing American game because it is football. You need huge lands and tons of equipment. Baseball, you need a massive park and you need cleats and a bat and because in New York you played stickball with a broom handle and a Spalding, right? Yeah. That's not actual baseball. Actual baseball is expensive. Actual football is expensive. Don't even get me started on like auto racing or even swimming. You have to have infrastructure to have competitive swimming.
True.
But basketball, anyone can nail a hoop up onto a wall and get a $25-$30 basketball amongst 10 friends, and then there you go. You got a game.
You can thank the Y for basketball.
Yeah.
And I think volleyball and some other things, but
volleyball was invented, because basketball was invented in Springfield, Massachusetts, right? And volleyball, I think, was invented in Northfield, Massachusetts, right around the corner. I think a woman invented volleyball, and Naismith or something Otto something.
I would look it up real quick.
Okay, I'm going to look it up while I yammer. But I remember that volleyball and basketball were both invented right next to each other in Massachusetts. I wonder if that was, you think that's a Y innovation too?
I know that volleyball is a Y.
It is?
Yep.
Well, regardless, I mean.
But we talked about all this great stuff in the community. All of that is important. But are you
William G.
Programs?
Morgan, a YMCA physical education director, created volleyball derived on badminton as an indoors. There you go.
Yeah.
And again.
Who knows that?
Well, we now all know that. But that's amazing because, again, this is how. You have that kid. He's sitting on the sidelines, and he doesn't have any friends.
Yeah.
He came from a bad family or something like that. And then someone at the Y goes, "Hey, hop on in this basketball game. Kid goes, I'm terrible. And they're like, it doesn't matter. And then boom, he made a friend. And yeah. Oh, God damn it. You're getting me all.
Yeah. And they say, oh, I can't afford it. 1 in 10 of our kids are able to be there, like financial assistance. We make sure that you can be part of it because it's important. Again, it teaches teamwork and sportsmanship and all this stuff. But our youth sports programs are pretty amazing. So,
oh my God. Yeah. It's that Christian goodness. Mm-hmm. It's a wholesome game. You're not turning to the booze or the drugs or the gang violence. Exactly. You're playing the wholesome game.
Right.
And basketball and volleyball are two wholesome games. And
what else did we
do?
I think there's a couple other ones.
These are now world games.
Yeah.
And there they are. You invented racquetball too.
I did know racquetball.
You invented racquetball.
There you go.
That's a little on the rich white side, though. It is. So we're gonna. That's
culturally significant as basketball or volleyball.
Trent and Tripp play racquetball.
Kids from Jersey who play racquetball.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Usually the racquetball crown sort of talks like this. You invented volleyball, basketball, and racquetball, which is absolutely amazing. And there we go. There's another port of entry into the Y community. Like, I'm not really keen on the volunteering and help. Well, go and play some sports too.
All of our go volunteer to be a sports coach. We always need all of our coaches are volunteers.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. This is so cool because like this is an under-visible charity, and it's actually beyond charity. It's mm-hmm. not really a charity. It's something. It doesn't really fall into categorization. I can't call it charity, can I?
I mean. Technically, we're a charitable organization that takes donations and then serves the community. I mean, it or serves, you know,
yeah. Purpose. It just feels different, though, doesn't it?
It does. It does feel a little bit different. And I don't know what that is. I think because I don't know. It doesn't feel like I'm not going to steal. I mean, I'm kind of stealing this, but it mm-hmm. does feel. It's like not selfish, but you're giving and they're getting something back mm-hmm. for it. And
right.
You're watching these people really then take what we're giving them and really transform their lives. And I don't know. It doesn't feel like charity.
It's a really
It just feels like human goodness. Like it just like, this is how we all should be.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like we're just being good people.
To quote the 90s, you know, no doy, you know,
just go do it.
Like,
of course we're going to do this. We're just being decent human beings. I don't know.
That's amazing.
that should be our new decent human beings.
Don't be a dick.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
This has been absolutely amazing. What a spectacular organization. And I hope everyone out there goes and checks out their local Y.
Please do.
Kyle doesn't care which one you donate to or which one you become part of because it's all one big family.
It really is.
And of course, if you are in Austin, swing by and say hi to Kyle. Carroll is an alliterative name.
It is.
Swing by and say hi to Kyle and please. Give Austin, the Austin Y, some time and effort and money because clearly it comes right back out into the community and go down to your local one and check it out as well. I've changed my mind.
Yay.
And I hope other people have changed their minds.
I do too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kyle Carroll. Thank you everyone. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.